Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yes, at that time of the morning, where we join you on a segment called Straight Talk, a Straight Talk, Alhamdulillah, the whole dunya tunes into Straight Talk because it's Counselor Ahmed Tariq, the action man who brings in the life on a Sunday morning, unconsciously connected. Ahmed Tariq, Counselor Ahmed Tariq, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell me how you doing this fine, a beautiful Sunday morning, Ahmed.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alam and salam to all our radio listeners on a beautiful, shiny, cold Sunday morning. It's about 6 or 7 degrees in the Midlands this morning, Shafat, and it's cold. I got up after Fijr, put some fire on, and waiting for this program and bring my notes for tomorrow's meetings. So, alhamdulillah, Shafat, Allah has blessed me with another day.
I tell you, you know what, as you say, it's a shiny, beautiful day here in Durban. The sardines are jumping and they're shouting, come, Ahmed, come, come and eat me, but be careful of the sharks. But there you are in the Midlands, sitting around the boiler, yeah, with the coal. And who else is sitting with you, Ahmed?
No, nobody. Everybody is still asleep. They finished the namaz and they're sleeping. I said, you know what, while the children are not awake, let me start doing all my notes for tomorrow, Tuesday, you know, get ready for the week, Shabbat.
Now, look at the karama. There you are in the Midlands. It's cold and all that. But the whole dunya is listening to you. This is the beauty of technology. And I bless you for that. And as you know, you take in the ambience of the Midlands, you know, maybe quiet and far from the maddening crowd, you know, give us a difference. And, you know, the different type of atmosphere you get there compared to when you're in you're a city slicker, Ahmed.
Shabbat, when you're out in the, especially in the Midlands and all, you're away from all the hustle and bustle of the city life and everything. There's no vehicles, you know, there's no road noise, there's no noise, there's nothing. You're in a real, completely out of mind, out of sight with everything. It's nice. You know, you recharge yourself. That is more important. You know, with my lifestyle, you know, I'm on the beat 24/7. And when you need, sometimes you need these weekends to just go and chill out in the bush a little bit, go and see. It's a nice river around the, from the apartments you can see. And you see the mountains, how beautiful Allah has created these mountains to protect everything around us. If there was no mountains, there was, you know, we all should have had major problems. You know, people, if you read and they say Ikra, read, and you'll know that mountains are put for a purpose to protect everything as well, Shafat.
No, absolutely. You make a very valid point, indeed. The mountains are like pegs. You know, those big marquees when you put up and you don't put the pegs. Hey, one wind and the whole thing will fly away. But the mountains that keep the earth sturdy, others will be jumping around. They'll be like, the rattles we had with the marquees. If you make the rattle go, we'll be rattling around. But moving on and looking at Kafan Dafan, what's the latest on that front, Ahmed?
Shabbat. Shabbat, alhamdulillah. I was after Fajr namaz today, I was having coffee with the wife and discussing. I said, you know, in this week alone, between Chatsworth, Phoenix alone, there were so many mayats in Durban and surrounding. There was also, you know, 2-3 with Durban and Overport and Sydenham burial had one this week as well as North Beach. So I've been keeping a close watch on it, but the bulk of it, on an average day in they've using between 3 to 5 mayats in the Chatsworth area, Stingo area. Yesterday, I think they had one. Day before yesterday, they had one as well. So, and Phoenix is, you know, these two major, massive townships in Durban and surrounding. So, you know, you're averaging like sometime like 15 mayats sometime on a day. So, you know, Allah, you know, and everybody, you know, alhamdulillah, with the help of Allah, everybody being buried, you know, the facilities are there, the janazah facilities are there, everything is there for us, you know, alhamdulillah. You know, unlike any other countries in the world where you have to wait and everything, you know, when it's a natural causes, you know, mayats are taking very, very quick and fast, and, you know, what the rule is, hastened towards the cemetery, and that's what we are doing. And alhamdulillah, you know, we are fortunate in this country. Shafara, I've been in many countries as well, and I've seen, and whenever I go on any holidays or anything, I make it my duty to always visit wherever it is. So I tell a taxi, no, take me to this, which is the closest cemetery here, Kabristan here, Muslim. I just want to see, how the things have been done and everything. When I was in Cape Town, and two or three years ago, we had a lecture there. And fortunately enough for me, on the Thursday, I went to the massive Kabristan there, and I was very, very disappointed. And I brought it down to the members of the MJC regarding, you cannot walk with the janaza on somebody else's cover, and you go, you know, in Durban, we got walkways and everything. I said, you know, you need to build something here so that, you know what, you'll be able to remove these, you don't walk onto the cover, put it on casters or something, that you know, people don't walk. You know, you create a walkway or something like that, because this is not on you. You're not allowed to actually walk on cover, somebody else's cover and all that. So I was, and they took heed of that, and fortunately they're doing something about it.
You know, Ahmad, I'm looking at a message in here, on the screen here. It says, "Assalamu alaikum." It's Abdul here. I really like Ahmad Tarak. I know him from Likey days, and he was always a colorful gentleman. But Allah, I can tell you, by Allah, I'm so proud of him, because I saw Ahmad become a public figure right in front of my eyes. I thought when he was a referee, that was when Ahmad became a household name. But now, as a politician, I'm so proud of him. Please, Ahmad, I want to know some stories from you. Did anyone fall into an open cover? You know, because there's a lot of open cover. I heard stories, but please give me one story that can put a smile on my dial. How you respond to Abdul here? Abdul wants a smile on his dial, but he wants to know if anyone fell in an open cover, Ahmad.
So, but we must be, you know, the one that comes to mind is that our late Maulana Harun, Allah give him Jannat, you know, what an alim that we had. We ever had an alim that really serves Pingo Beach was Maulana Harun. And he also went to bury some family members and all. He actually fell, and then eventually hurt his hand, a hand and leg and all. He was in cast or something like that. He actually fell in the cover, if I remember, many years ago. But, you see, in some of these cemeteries we have, Shafat, we must understand, because of the soil content, we have to have, like, the graves ready, like Mobeni has. We normally have two graves ready. Dudley Street, we have a grave ready. So these graves are ready for a purpose, because end of the day, it takes too long to dig. So that is the problem. But sometimes you get, when people want to rush, that's when you have a problem, especially when you come to Brook Street. The soil is so soft, you cannot even open a grave and leave it. And we had this problem lots of time because of, people come and want to rush all of a sudden, and, like a show, like sardines, as you say, sardines in a run, they all come together and they just want to, at that time, they all want to play big deals, or they want to do something, just to show. And then not realizing, people, the burial society guys, they tell them, the soil is not, you cannot even stand close to the cover there, because the soil from the next cover can, the bank can go. I've seen many a times the bank is collapsing and it goes into that. Now we have to wait to bury that person, because we have to now get our voice to dig it up, to open it up. Now you have already affected the other grave, and people slip and fall in these graves and all that. Things happen like that, But occasionally, besides that Maulana Harun's incident that I remember, that he fell in a grave, he was not so badly hurt or anything, but I know he did damage his leg at that time.
Yeah, I remember that too, very, very clearly. It made headlines everywhere. But also, Ahmad, as you said, the grave diggers, or even the members from the burial society, will be warning people, don't stand on the edge of the cupboard, it's going to collapse, and people don't listen. But then sometimes, you already plan for a box grave, then you have to change your plans, and you know, then they put the plank you know, at an angle after that. Mother, talk to me about that phenomena.
What we call that is a partly. Now that one we actually use when the soil is a solid soil. You know, the banks will not collapse in a hurry or anything like that. So that's why that doesn't need a box grave. The box grave is mainly where you have soft sand. So otherwise, as soon as you cannot make it like a box. You cannot make it like a box. That is the problem. That's why you have to make it, put a box so that banks don't collapse, so you will be able to bury that person properly.
Jazakallah for telling us. So, you know, it depends on this type of... you know, I was told the other day, I was talking to a brother, and he said, yeah, but you know, Chef, in Phoenix, in the Phoenix Cemetery, the soil is hard as, you know, shale and rock and all that. How true is that, Ahmed?
Yes, Chef, that is correct. In fact, it takes the boys sometime, practically a day. It takes practically the day to dig that thing, because you have to first loosen the soil with a pick and then start digging. Unfortunately, because normally you can do it with a TLB, because of the graves are put on a back-to-back basis and there is not space for TLB. Now, on a TLB, you can use when you've got a massive cemetery where you need at least a 2-meter walkway to take the TLB. Now you get a very small TLB, you'll be able to do it, but you still need a 2-meter walkway so to move that TLB, and then you can do it in no time. But unfortunately, because of ours, we need the 2 meters, we cannot put another 2 graves here. That's what it amounts to. So that's why to not lose a grave, therefore we cannot use TLB, and we have to use the normal way to dig the grave and loosen the soil and then dig that. So that's the reason why we have 2-3 graves ready at any one time in Phoenix. That's why you don't dig one next to another. You open one yard, then you leave about 10 graves, and then you'll open another one so that the banks and all that, in case if it rains and all that, you don't have any flooding and all that. All these things you need to take into account. Shafat, the Sudan issue is still now it's in that advanced stage where the U.S. and the Saudi governments are negotiating to get a peace settlement in Sudan. Then, you know, the very, very good news that we're hearing, the Palestinians are being granted to go for Hajj this year. That is a very big, via the West Bank to Jordan, from Jordan to Jeddah Airport, inshallah, they will be able to go now. This year, I think, you know, they've always been restricted. So I think that door has opened. That's a big, big, big plus factor for the people in Palestine. Then the issue about the Iran and Saudi diplomat meeting to do business back business to do the Iranian and then to tie up security and do investment. You know, now that, because now I think the Saudi government have realized that, you know, by leaving Iran on its own, if they have survived with all the sanctions that was given to them over the years, they still survived with everything. They didn't even bother about whatever the sanctions were put by the U.S. and everyone else in the UAE countries. And they haven't succeeded. So I think they have realized now is the time. They have to put it together. Otherwise, you know, with the things that are happening in the world, with Russia and the superpowers of India, Russia and China, there will be a problem. I think they have now realized that issue. The most important one is the media, that the court in India has taken a decision against a journalist and a media station. And it is a bad reflection on the Muslim community. So this is, I think, now the UAE needs, and the countries in the Middle East have to do something about this, because now I think they have overstepping the mark in India now, Shabbat.
Now, well, observe there, as you said, you know, the Arabs can really put so much of pressure on the Indians, because they're employing so many of them in their part of the world. And, you know, they're doing all the menial jobs and so forth. And, you know, we talk about sardine frenzy, sardine fever, you know, Itikweni and Durbanese. Is it booked out? Is it fully booked? Because a lot of fishermen there, ski boats are around. But tourism, has it increased during this frenzy, sardine frenzy season, Ahmad?
Shabbat, you know, fortunately, just June 16th this time has fell on a Friday, so it becomes a long weekend. You know, a lot of people, they normally work the one weekend or one during the court, they'll wait forward. If it's normally any long weekend falls on a Thursday, it's a plus factor, they're getting 4 days, a long weekend. So that's where the people have been planning. In fact, I know I was speaking to the letting manager yesterday at this resort here, and he was telling me that, you know what, for next year, 2024, people have already booked because they have, you know, you get a calendar for 2024 already out. To, they'll know exactly when is the long weekends and all that. So they normally book it out from, you know, that's how they normally do it in advance. So the tourist market has picked up in the last couple of months. You know, it has picked up. You know, because Shabbat, you go overseas, I've been speaking to people that are going into Dubai. It's very, very expensive now to even go to Dubai now. That's why people are looking more for local holidays with the things that are quite at the moment. In fact, I was speaking to some of the people here in the resort, and it says business is very, very quiet at the moment. So if pick and pay and ShopRite are feeling the pinch, then you must know things are really quite in the country, ShopRite.
Yeah, good point made by our very own Ahmad Parak there, our councillor Ahmad Parak, already giving us a fresh, I can smell it, the Midlands, I can smell it, I can hear Ahmad's voices go full with the freshness. And then Ahmad, your party being on the headlines, are saying young people must register so they can, vote and get rid of those that are doing corruption and those that are making the country go pear-shaped. How's the young people? How are they, reacting to you? Because you find that during this long weekend, the EFF is in Intongati cleaning up. They are near the informal settlements. I don't know, buying them off or giving them hampers and sending them, don't worry, there's your $300, but make sure that X, you know where it goes. And then another party will come to the informal settlement and say, hey, there's another $400, you know, there's an X here, you know where it will go. There's our T-shirt, there's our cap. Talk to me about this phenomena, Ahmad.
Shabbat, this is now starting to hot up now. In fact, you know, I've been told, you know, there was a meeting on Thursday with a council meeting. Things are really, really hotting up in terms of the 2024 election, because you'll find that, you know, even the load sharing has from 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the evening, has now only gone to 2 hours. Now, people, you know, there was a lot of question that came during the course of this week. Councillor staff tell us what happened all of a sudden. Why is it our load sharing sometimes is 1 hour, 2 hours, from 4 hours it has gone to 2 hours, and in 8 hours it has gone to 4 hours. What happened all of a sudden? There must be some issue there. What happened? How come now the load sharing has come down? Yes, we have been buying our own power, Shabbat. Listen to what I'm saying. Our own power, we've been supplying to the neighboring country. We went and deal. Now, one good thing that Ramaphosa did, he brought in an energy minister who knows a little bit about engineering, who knows how to fix things, and he has been doing his rounds and getting things done. And you know, right now, when he was the CEO, he picked up all the fraud and everything, and you saw what he revealed. One advocate who is on the board of the Eskom, they were doing all the thunder in this. They were sabotaging their own system. Now this is just to get the tenders to get the tenders out, and they can fix things for over and over. So there, it was a milking cow. I think all that has almost coming to an end. Things are starting to look up a little bit, and that's what's going to be. And the people of the country have realized, you know, they cannot depend on the state anymore. They cannot depend on the government anymore. They have been starting to bring from China all over the world the best equipment in terms of solar to power up the businesses and all that. You cannot sit back and expect things to happen when people have got a staff force of 2,000, people got staff force 500-600, and the small SSMEs, they also have their 50-80s and all. They are suffering big time at the moment because they've been working 4 hours in a, you know, in the clothing manufacturing, where you've got an 8-hour day, they were only working 4 to 5 hours. You can't do that in the clothing industry. You can never make money. And before you blink, it's already Friday. They have to be paid. So that is the problem that we are faced with. So things are starting to look up a little bit as far as that is concerned.
Looking at a message on the screen, it says, good morning, gentlemen. I'm Per Garson. I've been listening to the show from the morning, and Adam was absolutely brilliant. I like what this counselor is talking, Mr. Parukh. Please, Mr. Parukh, can I also compliment Vivian Reddy? He won a travel accolade, and he gave his 100,000 rand towards charity. What a man, Vivian Reddy. How well did you know him, Mr. Parukh? Is it true that Vivian Reddy got an award for tourism and he gave his 100,000 for charity, Ahmad?
Shabbat, that's one man. I know him personally. And our A.V. Muhammad is also a director in Renaissance, the hotel that he's put up in Abslanga. We made a shopping center. You can go to him. And if you know him, you speak to him. And if you charity, I mean, what charity you're doing, you're giving the proper due diligence on your NGO, NPC company. You got anything that needs to be done, and especially for school education, where he doesn't see it. One thing I've known him for over the years, that we brought him to Bay Street Masjid for a lecture as well. And one thing I can say, that when it comes to color, creed, race, religion, he doesn't see that. With it. Even in his shopping center in Amslanga, I was invited by Maulana Bank himself with AV. When we opened the Jamaat Khana in that mall. It's a beautiful mall. It's state of the art mall. If you go to the shops in Dubai. And these are all branded stores in that mall there. So when it comes to tourism, and I think he was one of the forefront runners, beat even Canton and anywhere else. He brought it to Amslanga, and he put up a huge shopping center for the people in Kwadruguza and Stenga. So he's a gentleman by nature. And, people talk about, everyone has their skeleton, he's worn. Tender the back way, even ANC through and through ANC men. Forget all that. End of the day, what he's doing for the community, that's important. Leave the bad side, look at the good side. When you want to do something for the school, and like now in the school where in problem with the school feeding, he was there. He was a front runner. He said, anything anybody needs, talk to me. I'm prepared to assist. Now, that is what we need. We need people like that. Who are prepared to see if the school needs anything or any organization needs Muslim organization, Hindu organization, churches. He gives to anyone, providing the paperwork, everything is done, and it's a legitimate organization he's prepared to assist.
Well, Prakasan, you can see that our counselor knows everything. He's got his finger on the pulse, and he gave you much, much more. This question from Umarji. He says, Assalamu alaikum, Councillor Ahmad Parukh and Brother Shafa'at. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Please, Ahmad, I've got a little bit of a gabrat here. What about the electricity meter switch off, which is looming? And why must the people pay for this also? I mean, shouldn't the Itikweni be paying for the switch and making it compliant for the years to come? Ahmad, how you respond to Umarji?
Assalamu alaikum, but Umar, there's a system that we are putting in place at the moment. This whole system of water meters, electricity meters, and ATCs is outdated. We all know that. Sometimes you are getting bills what you shouldn't be getting bills. Some meters are so old, the meters are not even running, but you're getting charged for things that you shouldn't be paying. So all these things, you can bring it up to the Edikwini. But the only downside of this issue is, Umar, you have to get all your bills in order. Why it's not, some places it's not working right and all. You need to go through them. Your problem is when you go there, you might spend like 3-4 hours because you'll have to go like a musical chair and you'll have to go and sit. Eventually, put a complaint in there and they will sort it out. But there is a way that we are looking at all a new system. More than that, what we are thinking at the moment is many years ago, the international company from Germany came here. They said there's a new system in the piping system they have to sort out here. And if you go to Karwastown, the whole of Karwastown has been almost ready. The new piping has been done. So I think everywhere they have to now start pulling new pipes and all, because the old pipes, the asbestos pipes and all, has given up. So that even in the power as well, we've got old cables and you get a shock in the old cable when you're getting the load shedding. As soon as you put it on, it will start sparking somewhere else and the cable will be blown up. Then they'll have to dig and we'll have to join it. And we are doing patchwork at the moment. So this whole infrastructure after the 2024 election, we are going to be looking at it in a different light. The three things that is in our blueprint: one is the electricity, one is the sanitation and water and sanitation, and the roads. These are the three major priorities the government is looking at it and hoping, inshallah, if I'm living to see 2024 election, we will be definitely looking at this, and that is our priority at this stage, Shabbat.
Ahmad, looking at this question, and it says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Parak and Shafaz Ahmad Khan. Jazakallah khair for riveting radio. Really enjoy the segment. And also compliments to Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, for having podcasts available. I send the podcast to all my family members across the globe. Ahmad Parak, analysts say that the government has failed to maintain the railway system, and that's why we're in such a mess. Why hasn't the government given the priority to the railway system? It seems as if maybe they're making more money out of truck license and permits. I think there's something here. Ahmad, what's your thoughts?
Javad, yeah, there's an undercover, sinister cartel that is derailing the whole issue. Number one, they are even stealing the tracks. Now, if you recently read in the press as well, as the minister have already made it the minister of transport, because of we want to cut down the transport, especially all the container movement from Durban Joburg, we then had to put a new rail system that we call a container system that will run from Durban right up to Joburg, and they will have a Durban Joburg container terminal. So that will obviate and take the pressure off the roads. Now, all the trucking industries and all, if that comes into play, you know what's going to happen? A lot of these trucks that was going Durban Joburg, we want to pull them off the road, and that is going to be the long term, what we have forecast for long term. But they have already started to derail this year because it's going to cost the truckers. They will be out of business. That is the issue that we are faced with. Now, the thing is, there's no way else you can do anything, because you can be fixing these roads, and if you're going to Maritzburg, from Durban Maritzburg, previously within 45 minutes you were in Maritzburg. Today it'll take you an hour and a half, maybe sometime in 2 hours, because if the truck or a vehicle is stuck, or you've got an accident, or you've got a puncture, then you will stay there for two and a half hours. So that is an issue that we are trying to take the congestion away from the road and move some of these truckers out of the road so that we have a proper rail system with the container. So that is a problem that the truckers are giving us at the moment, and this is going to be a problem. And also, if you take the Durban Pine Town, there's a new system that we have come up with rail. Now, the taxi industry is blocking them. So anything new you want to put into to make it easier, faster for the community, then you get a stumbling block either from the trucking industry or you get from the taxi industry.
Hey, the TNT giving out a rough time there, Ahmadi. Now, what about the container terminal there in Durban? I mean, once upon a time, it was a pride and joy of Africa. How's that doing, Ahmad?
Shafat, the container terminal that if you have been reading in the last 6 months, they have already started increasing our terminal. Is, you know, our port is the biggest port in Africa. And you know, we have already started implementing the new extension to it, and they have already started with that. So you know, we have now even our mouth has been opened up. You know, you're getting massive ships coming with thousands of containers now, and the people living in the beachfront, they will see, you know, the new MACG cargo vessels. They're coming with thousands of containers into our harbor, and now even the mouth has been opened, so those big massive container ships can come into our harbor as well.
Yeah, Ahmad, you know, I remember many years ago saying, you know, Durban Harbor was the fifth busiest port on earth in the world. I don't know where the ratings now, but also, you know, you talk about containers, and then we know about Eskom got mafias sabotaging Eskom and so forth. We had mafias running the Durban Harbour. You know, the containers were full of drugs and full of many other things that were, you know, hitting the B route, the C route, and the grey route. How has Itikweni managed to quell that, Ahmad?
So far, now with the new scanning system that were put into is a state-of-the-art scanning system. As soon as the container comes, they got a new system. They call it detain. Once your container has been detained, it has to go to the police pound. They've got a special area that goes there. Then they offload the container, and they've got the dog units as well. They go and check it out and all. Even vessels, any vessels that is coming into our harbor now, they all, even before you even start offloading your container, you have to go into the ships and with the SAPS and harbor patrol we have got, they go and check up for drugs and all, because some of these captains in this container vessels, they were bringing drugs from overseas into our shores here in the country shores.
I tell you, Ahmad, they were absolutely brilliant. Hey, what's for breakfast this morning in the Midlands, Ahmad?
Shabbat, I don't know, breakfast, they're all still sleeping, I think, so they'll get up in the next half an hour, 45 minutes, we'll see what happens, Shabbat.
I thought you'd tell me, hey, don't worry, Shafat, you know, like, you know, Father's Day. I mean, we're living in this zamana, maybe Father's Day, Mother's Day. We know every day should be Father's Day. But maybe you as a father say, hey, don't worry, I'm giving you my Ahmad special. But if you had to give the Ummah a special breakfast, what you'd make for us this morning, Ahmad?
Shafat, you know, the best is get fresh tomatoes, get chilies, get onions, slice it properly, make baked beans with a knife, put some spices in there, and you make that and see if you got handmade roti for Sunday morning with a nice egg. I'm done, Shabbat.
Ahmad, that's why you're so healthy. I'm going to try it, right? Hey, I'm going to do that just now. Now, Ahmad, your parting words to the listeners this morning?
Shabbat, as you said, that, you know, all the youths have been starting to, all parties are mobilizing for the youths to get involved in this new dispensation that is coming through 2024. People want to feed them. And, you know, we got, you know, Action SA has got let's fix South Africa. That's our slogan, and that's where we are. And we have been signing youths left, right, and center at the moment. This is the opportunity we have got. Don't sit back and cry and say, this is not being done, that is not being done. There's an opportunity for you to get things done. Well, get yourself registered and vote for 2024, and I promise you there will be a big difference in this country,
Shabbat. You make a difference, and alhamdulillah, many, many are addicted to your slot. Straight talk with Ahmad Farooq. You have a mashallah beautiful time there in the Midlands. I will talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.